combine chatter, lots of it. Let's start, Patrick, with this CBA, and we were talking about the idea of the owners to say, let's target the middle and lower class player from a financial standpoint, and we're going to get this thing passed. And I was at the combine last week. There was, like, no doubter this thing would get through pretty easily. 60% of the union is minimum guys, and they're going to vote for this thing. Do you see any way that this thing doesn't get done soon?
Honestly, it's a weird kind of conundrum that the NFLPA finds themselves in, because you have the top tier players in the league obviously railing against the latest proposal and willing, as it seems, to go into a potential holdout. And you see certain players coming out and telling some of the younger players and some of the players that are on that bottom 50% of the pay scale that, hey, you know, we'll take care of you. We'll look out for you and help you out with your bills and whatnot while this thing gets sorted out. But it's like you said, the owners have played the calculated position of forcing desperation upon those players that are in that bottom 50%, those that are saying, hey, well, you know, we don't make $16 million a year like you guys. So a lot of these proposals or a lot of these bullet points in the proposal work in our favor, like bumping up what we would be making on a minimum scale going forward, so forth and so on. So you have those players who, honestly, like I said, they don't make $15, $16, $17 million a year and upwards. They're not necessarily worried about the 17th game, because some of these players, they're not going to be on the team for 17 games anyway. I mean, they might come in and actually be on a practice squad and then get activated and play five or six games, and they want to maximize how much they're making. So you have these upper tier players that are railing against it, but you have the bottom majority that are saying, hey, we're just not like you guys. And the NFL owners are counting on that, and that's why it's kind of, I wouldn't say speeding towards being approved, because there's been nothing expeditious about this process whatsoever, but it does look like it'll land here in a couple of weeks.
Patrick, help me to understand how the NFL, and I know how this works, because fans usually are side with the owners, and it's the funniest thing. Bo and I talk about it, and it's because most people played football at one point in time, right? And so they say, gosh, what I would give to play in the National Football League. They can relate to players in some sense. They played in high school, middle, whatever it was, whatever level, college, whatever. But no one can relate to Stan Kroenke or someone who's a billionaire. But it's funny to me that they claim player safety, and it's like they got through the whole concussion settlement stuff. They claim they want all this player safety. And it seems like, oh, we're going to add a 17th game. We'll keep the Thursday night games. We won't give you an extra bye week, but we'll reduce off-season practices. And something tells me that the fans are still going to side with the owners on this. And look, it doesn't matter, but to me it just screams kind of hypocrisy when you talk about player safety and then, oh, let's add another game.
It absolutely does. And, you know, speaking to and fans, and obviously not every fan, but for the most part, there are large factions of fandom that tend to side with NFL owners, whether that be in a situation like this, whether that be in a respective team negotiation with a big money contract. Obviously, we're dealing with that down here in Dallas with the Cowboys versus Dak Prescott versus Amari Cooper versus Byron Jones. And at the end of the day, I call it Stockholm Syndrome, wherein, you know, you are so convinced by the billionaire that has your emotions hostage that this is the bad guy that you start saying, hey, well, maybe they are the bad guy. And yeah, really, at the end of the day, it's just a business negotiation. But when it comes to the CBA and safety, I don't think anyone put it more eloquently than Richard Sherman did when he was pointing out the fact that the NFL is using, they're claiming they give a damn about player safety, but then you're trying to tackle in the 17th game. Again, you're not, like you said, you're not making any adjustments to the Thursday night football schedule, and they really don't even want to make any adjustments to the offseason practice schedule. They're kind of bucking against that as well. Their concession to getting an extra game, which puts the players at more exposure for injury and concussions and things of that nature, is, well, you know, we'll let you smoke weed.
Yeah, you're right.
So, you know, it's kind of laughable when you think about it, because at no point in this discussion have we seen the NFL actually justify a 17th game as it relates to safety concerns that would then come about from adding a 17th game. And again, going back to Richard Sherman, he also said that this is a segue to them adding an 18th game, which, if you guys recall, a couple years ago, if even that, 18-game schedule is what was originally the proposal, and the NFL owners scaled back in the hopes of getting more approval or a better approval rating for 17 games. But the fact that they initially dangled 18 games out there lets you know what they're really angling for. So Richard Sherman hit it right on hit the nail right on the head. I don't think it's anything about safety. It is, in fact, about profitability, getting more windfall profits for the NFL, and by virtue, you know, the owners as well, by virtue of getting it for the NFL. And the players are saying, well, hey, if you're not going to care about our safety, the least you can care about is our pockets. And we want a 50-50 split. And the NFL is like, nah, we're not going that far either. So here we are.
And despite it all, it's probably going to pass. And that's the way that this thing goes, Patrick Walker.
Majority wins.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right now, the majority of players are those that are not making, you know, $12 to $22 million a year. It's the practice squad guys. It's the 50th guy on the roster. You know, so
yeah, 60% of the league at the minimum. Yeah, it's amazing. Let's have a little fun. Wild speculation. The Brady stuff. I wondered if there's a dark horse team, a team that we're not talking about here. And the team that I have been thinking about for a while is the one that is near and dear to your, I don't know about dear your heart, but near your heart. I'm talking about the Cowboys. Would Jerry Jones, wouldn't that be something shiny that Jerry Jones would have an interest in?
It'd be shiny, but I think that this is a different version of Jerry Jones that we're looking at. This is a Jerry Jones that understands optics more than he ever has in the past. You can credit a lot of that to who he surrounds himself with, i.e. Stephen Jones, Will McClay, and, you know, so he operates more of with a Knights of the Round Table kind of delegacy, I should say, than any time before. So yeah, the old Jerry Jones, absolutely, we could say that he would at least entertain the thought process of possibly bringing in Tom Brady, looking at the revenue that will come with that. Of course, it would send the Cowboys hype into overdrive as if it needs it. And then you tether that to the hiring of Mike McCarthy. So now you got Brady plus McCarthy in the same season. And oh my God, the ratings. Oh my God, guys, the revenue.
Right.
But at the end of the day, if you look at it statistically and you look at it from a level mind, there's nothing that indicates that the 2020 version of Tom Brady is better physically than the 2020 version of Dak Prescott. And I think that Mike McCarthy also, and the Cowboys are giving Mike McCarthy a lot of leeway to build this team and this coaching staff as he sees fit. And Mike McCarthy is not, he's not in on Brady, and he's all in on Dak Prescott. So that's why the Cowboys and McCarthy, they're not even remotely entertaining it. And I've spoken with several within the organization over the past couple of months. And every time I ask the question, it's been shot down unequivocally. The Cowboys are not considering Tom Brady. But as far as Brady goes, I wonder, you know, you start hearing about, you know, candidates like the Dolphins who keep shooting it down, the Bucks, you know, the Raiders, obviously. But why hasn't anyone talked about the Colts? Right, the Colts are looking at Phillip Rivers. They're talking about they're willing to keep all their options open at QB. Why not the Colts? I'm just curious. The Colts have a defense, right? They have an offensive line. They have offensive weapons. So if we're talking about a team that's not being spoken about in the same breath as Tom Brady, why not Indianapolis? So it'll be interesting to see how it all shakes out.
Patrick would be so cutthroat. They turned him in for Deflategate. Like, that would just be so cutthroat, man.
Tell me stranger things haven't happened.
You ain't wrong.
This is the same league that Brett Favre when he played for the Vikings in.
So that's true. That's true.
You're right.
You can no longer tell me nothing's impossible. So
it's all possible, buddy.
Oh,
no, you don't. Always appreciate your time. Thanks, pal. Have a good day.
You too.